Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to church this morning. We're happy to see everyone here this morning. Welcome to Kanawha City. We especially want to welcome all of our mothers, grandmothers, daughters, aunts, all the women in our lives that make us who we are. We are here to celebrate God and also celebrate you. Let's begin by singing this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy. Mm-hmm. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God over all and blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the crystal sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who wast and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. Let's pray together. Dear God, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity to come to gather together, to sing these songs of worship to you, to just acknowledge that you are so good to us, that you anticipate what we need and provide it before we even know we need it. We're so thankful for our family here and for the love that we can share one another, the support that we can provide to one another. And we want to thank you, Lord, for our mothers today. We want to thank you for our daughters, our grandmothers, our sisters, our aunts, all those special ladies in our life that have helped guide us to who we are. We thank you for putting these ladies in our life. Father, we pray that our worship this morning is pleasing in your sight and that we can take the words that we learned this morning and apply them to our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing Glorify Thy Name and then go directly into As a Deer prior to our communion service this morning. So we'll sing together Glorify Thy Name. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth, and we will glorify thy name.
To worship you. may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Good morning, church. I hear it's a special day today. I hear it is Migratory Bird Day. So happy Migratory Bird Day. No, I'm just kidding. Today is Mother's Day. To all of you mothers out there, to all of you women out there who act as mothers, who have the heart of a mother, we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. All of us children, happy Mother's Day. And Mother's Day kind of reminds me of a verse, or a couple verses, that you normally hear at a wedding service. It comes from 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. If there's a couple verses in the Bible that describes a mother, I think that right there is it. Mothers have undying love. Infinite love for their children. And as much as you might be irritated with your children, which is probably often, you still love them. As horrible as your children could be to you, you still love them. As awful as I've been to my mother in the past, she, I think, still loves me. She's not here, so I can't ask her. I know that she does. But all I'm here to say is, mothers, you all are superheroes. You all are amazing. You all love as Jesus loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Mothers, you show your children each and every day what that love looks like, what that love of Jesus looks like here on earth. And I, from the bottom of my heart, want to thank you for that. We're here today to remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross during this communion time, but I also want to wish you a happy Migrant Birds Day. Let's pray. Our Heavenly and Righteous Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for this day that you have provided to allow us to just say how wonderful our mothers are. God, you have created our mothers to be so loving to us, so patient with us and kind. God, you've placed mothers on earth in order for us to understand your love for us, that undying love, that love that you sent your son to sacrifice on the cross to forgive us of our sins. And that's why we're here today. God, I just want to remember that sacrifice on the cross at this time as we take of these emblems, as we take the bread, which represents your body hung on the cross, and we take the juice that represents the blood that was shed. God, I just thank you for that sacrifice, and I thank you for the sacrifice of our mothers each and every day. And it's in your precious and holy name that we pray, and amen. If you're visiting with us and you've never used one of these before, the clear plastic film on top, maybe, opens up to your bread. And then the little purple film, be careful, it'll splash, opens to your juice. Go ahead and take a couple minutes and reflect upon the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Reflect on the sacrifice of your mothers for you. Now we come to a time in our worship where we also pray over the offering of the congregation, that it may bless those in our congregation, in our neighborhood. I just pray that you give with a cheerful heart. Fathers, your turn to give today. Mothers, put away your pocketbooks and let the men take care of it, because you shouldn't be paying for anything on Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, we come to your throne this morning thanking you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. God, we just can't fathom what life would be without the blessing of your love and life each and every day. God, we thank you for everything that you give to us. I just pray that everything that we give back is a portion of that blessing that we see, a portion of our money, our time, our love for each other. God, just be with this church as they take the offering, we take the offering, and we're able to bless it in this community. God, we thank you for everything that you do for us, and it's in your precious and holy name that we pray, and amen. And then we also dismiss the children at this time, ages 2 to 5th grade, but I'm also going to call on you teenagers, and we need help. So if you're a teen in this audience, come on back to the multipurpose room with us.
Prior to our lesson this morning, I'm going to ask everyone to, if it's convenient, to join me in standing and singing How Great Thou Art. Mm-hmm.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Please be seated.
Good morning, church.
Good morning. Let me begin by saying happy Mother's Day to all of you ladies, and appreciate everything that you all do for us and mean to us. And it's just a special day to be able to celebrate the women in our lives. And couple things that we need to take note of before we begin. First off, don't forget next Friday night, I think it is the 21st at 6:30, we're going to be having our first Friday night sing. It's going to be out on the parking lot somewhere. There will be more details to come, but that will be at 6:30, and you do at least need to make sure as of right now to bring your own chair. Beyond that, we'll get more information to you as we go along. Also, I want to take note of our stage, the fact that somebody has decorated this for us. Appreciate that, even though as the lone person on stage, it's somewhat offensive to think that somebody thinks that I alone am not enough to look at, and that we need something to kind of pretty this up a little bit. Makes it worse when you know that it's your wife that did it. But appreciate Erica putting in that effort. If you want to go and open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16, Genesis chapter 16 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to take a break from our series so that we can look at and think about mothers this morning. But before we get into that, let's just go ahead and have a prayer together. Holy Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We are especially grateful this morning, Father, for our mothers and for our wives and for our grandmothers. And we thank you for our daughters and our aunts and our sisters. We thank you for the women in our lives and what they mean to us, what they mean to this church, Father. We pray that we will do great things to honor them this morning. And we thank you for the way that they live their lives to honor you. Father, we pray this morning that as we look at your word, that you will guide us, that you will help us to see what it is that you would want us to see. Father, we thank you for the examples that you give us in Scripture of women and mothers that are serving and honoring you. We love you so much, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want you to think for just a minute about how flawed our system is. Mother's Day morning happens to be on a Sunday morning. So in order to honor our mothers, what we do is we make them get up early, and we make them get their kids ready to go to church, and we make them fight their kids during church, and we take them and we make them listen to a guy who's a father point to somebody in Scripture who's a woman they've never met before and say, here's somebody you should be like. It seems somewhat flawed because in our society, unfortunately, we have, I think all of us, and maybe especially mothers have a tendency to do this, is to maybe look at the other mothers around them and maybe be a little bit harsh on themselves and think, yeah, maybe I could be doing something better. Maybe I should be like them. And I think things like our social media helps to perpetuate that a little bit. And so I think it's a little bit flawed that maybe we come to church on Sunday morning of Mother's Day and you get to listen to a dad tell you, hey, here's how you should be a better mother. It just doesn't seem to make sense. And so that is not at all what my goal is this morning. We're going to look instead at a passage that maybe is someone we don't not often look at for Mother's Day. And notice this very important message from this story, and we find it in Genesis chapter 16. To kind of set the scene as to what's going on here, you'll remember back in Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses, God has made this covenant with Abram. His name is Abram at the time. He'll later become Abraham. He's made this covenant with Abram that he's going to make this great nation out of him and that many people will come from him. In Genesis chapter 15, God renews this covenant with Abram and begins to talk very specifically about what this will look like. Abram has a few other ideas about it, but God renews the covenant with Abram. And he tells Abram once again that this great nation is going to come from him. But we recognize this problem. In Genesis chapter 16, beginning at verse 1, it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. We've got Abram who's being told that this great nation is going to come from him and from him and his wife. And they're at this point where she's been unable to have children. And so we continue on and it says that she had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. So go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So Sarai comes to Abram with this idea, this plan, that because she can't have children for him, that she will give him her servant Hagar. She's this Egyptian servant, and their plan is that Hagar will bear children on behalf of them and be their surrogate mother. And so Abram listens to his wife Sarai, and it says, so that after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. So they listen to this plan, and Abram goes and has relations with Hagar and kind of makes her his wife, and she is able to conceive. And it's beginning to look like maybe this promise, this covenant, is going to continue to go forward. This promise of God is going to continue to go forward, but under Abram's plans and under Sarai's plans and under Hagar's plans. And so Hagar conceives, but then we learn this. When she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. You see, already this plan is beginning to fall apart a little bit, because already there's beginning to be some strife between Hagar and Sarai. And so Sarai says to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you." Sarai's already mad about this, and she's beginning to go to Abram, and she says, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." And then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. There's this strife between Sarai and Hagar, and they begin to go back and forth, and Abram gives Sarai permission to do whatever she pleases with Hagar, and she begins to treat Hagar very harshly, to the point that Hagar takes off, and she flees. It says, "The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness," the spring on the way to Shur. That's an important note there, because what that geographical point tells us is that she's on her way back to Egypt. She's on her way back to her homeland. And she's running away from all that's going on. It says, "The angel of the Lord finds her there. And he said, 'Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?' She said, 'I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her.' And the angel of the Lord also said to her, 'I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. And you shall call his name Ishmael,' which means 'God hears,' because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all of his kinsmen." And so this angel of the Lord appears to Hagar and says that a great nation is also going to come from her son. Her son, who she is to name Ishmael, which means "God hears." And so we're told that Hagar responds and says, so she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing. For she said, 'Truly here I have seen him who looks after me.' And therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy, well of the living one who sees me. And it lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram." This is the story of how Hagar is given to Abram, and how Ishmael comes to be because of this new relationship. And the story continues for a few chapters, and then there's a little bit of a break, and then it picks back up. In Genesis chapter 17, God reiterates this covenant to Abram. And Abram even kind of reaches out to God and says, "All right, well, let's make this happen through Ishmael." And God says, "No, that's not it. This plan is going to take place through your wife, Sarai." As a matter of fact, it's in this chapter that Abram becomes Abraham and Sarai becomes Sarah. And so when Abraham responds and says, "This is the plan, this is how I want you to bless us through Ishmael," God's response was to tell him of his plan for Sarah and Isaac. And a few other things happen between these chapters and what's going on here. And then we come to Genesis chapter 21. And in Genesis chapter 21, in the verse 7 verses, we read of how Isaac is born to Abraham and to Sarah. But as Isaac is born to Abraham and to Sarah, we then begin to wonder, what's going to happen to Ishmael? And what's going to happen to his mother Hagar? And so we pick back up and we read, "And the child grew and was weaned." And this was Isaac that we're talking about at this point. The child grew and was weaned. And in those days, the timing that it took for that to take place, he's probably at this point maybe about 3 years old. And Abraham had made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, and he was laughing. And so she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son. For the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. The strife and the jealousy and the competition between Sarah and Hagar continues to the point that Sarah looks at what's going on here and she looks at Abraham and she says, no, that boy, that Ishmael, the son of that Egyptian slave woman, he's not going to be heir with my son Isaac. So he says, you've got to do something about this. Cast her out. And we read, the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he took bread and a skin of water, and he gave it to Hagar, and putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and he sent her away. And she departed, and she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And when the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. And then she went, she sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And she sat opposite him. She lifted up her voice, and she wept. Hagar and Ishmael have been sent off into the wilderness. All they've been given is some bread and a skin of water. And as they're traveling along, eventually the bread runs out, and eventually the water runs out, and they begin to suffer from starvation and from thirst. To the point that Hagar realizes this is probably the last for me and for my son. And so she takes her son, she places him over underneath a bush, and she goes a little ways off because she doesn't want to look upon the death of her child. And she begins to lift up her voice and to cry out, and she begins to weep. And the word that's used here means that she sobbed uncontrollably over what she knows is getting ready to happen to her son. But then we read that God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and she filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up, and he lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. We get this beautiful picture here of a mother who's crying over her child, and this boy who seems to be at least calling out and maybe crying himself. And God hears this child. And there's a great lesson in that as well, that God hears the cries of our children. And when God hears the cry of this child, he sends his angel to speak to the boy's mother. And so the angel of the Lord speaks out to Hagar and tells her to, he says, backing up a notch here, he says, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. And so the angel tells Hagar to get up and lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. And the story continues that great things happen for Hagar and for Ishmael, and that he is made into a great nation as well. You know, it seems that sometimes when it comes to Mother's Day, our sermons tend to focus around pictures of maybe Mary there in the barn with all the people gathered around her manger, and we focus on that verse that says that Mary treasured up all of these things in her heart. And we want to tell our mothers, listen, when everybody just comes in and just gets all up in your business and invites themselves unexpectedly and everything's out of your control, we want to say, just treasure up all that in your heart. How's that work for you, mothers? Is that pretty easy to do? Or maybe we look at some of these other stories. We look at Samuel's mother praying for him and offering to give her child back to God. And we say, mothers, just pray for your children and offer them back to God. And maybe some mothers have wanted to offer their children back to God in a very different way. But I think that's a little bit difficult at times. And I'm not saying that our mothers don't. I know that our mothers treasure these moments. And I know that our mothers pray for their children. And I know that our mothers do great things. But there's a verse here that sticks out to me. And I think this is a very real mom moment. It says, when the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. And she sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And she sat opposite him. And she lifted up her voice, and she wept. Mothers, let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hand for this. How many of you have set your children off to the side, maybe given them something to entertain themselves so that you can go and be by yourself and just cry? How many of you have kept yourself up at night crying over your children? How many of you have concerned yourself because maybe your child has some physical ailments and is going through these serious illnesses, and you sat up and you cried because you feared the death of your child? How many of you have watched your children make just some decisions that you know they shouldn't be making, and you've become concerned about their spiritual lives and maybe even their spiritual death, and you've kept yourself up at times and you've cried? How many of you have gotten so upset with your child that you feared death for them at your very own hands? And you've threatened them jokingly, but also somewhat meaning it, that I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. My mother has made that very threat to me on several occasions, and I know that she meant it. And how many of you have gone off and you've locked yourself in a bathroom? You've locked yourself in your room. Maybe you've given your child some candy or a tablet or something so that you can just have a moment by yourself and just cry. You see, when I read this story, what I see is a very real mom moment of a mother who has to put her child off by himself for a moment because she fears the worst for him. And all she can do is cry uncontrollably. And I know for a fact that there are likely women in here this morning who have experienced this very same thing, of having to go off by yourself and just simply cry. Because let's face it, motherhood, and I'm not speaking from experience here, I'm speaking from what I've been told, motherhood is difficult. And it doesn't always go the way that you hoped it would. And sometimes your children will drive you crazy. And sometimes you will fear the worst for your children. And the only thing that you can think to do is to cry. And the message of this story actually goes all the way back to chapter 16, where Hagar had originally gone off to be by herself, and she's already conceived, but she's not yet given birth to this son, and she's heading back to Egypt, and she's met in the wilderness by an angel. And this angel looks after her. This angel speaks to her and tells her that God is seeing what's going on. And so in chapter 16 and verse 13 through 14, we read this. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And then listen once again to what the angel of God, who appears to her in chapter 16 and speaks again to her in her tears in chapter 21, listen again to what it is that she tells Hagar, who's in the midst of this terrible situation in 16 and will find herself in another terrible situation in chapter 21. Listen again to what God tells her to name her son in the midst of her tears. "Behold, you are pregnant, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael," which means God hears, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. You see, I think oftentimes on Mother's Day, it's real easy for us to look at all of these great stories, these great examples of mothers in the Bible, and say, you should pray like they pray. You should treasure things up in your heart like they treasure things up in their heart. You should get up in the morning like the Proverbs 31 woman and make breakfast for your children and for your husband, and everyone will rise up and call you blessed. But let's just be honest about it for a second. Sometimes being a mother looks a lot more like what it looked like for Hagar, where you're going off by yourself and you're getting away from your children for just a second so that you can cry. And the message that God gives to Hagar is, "I hear you. I see you. And it's okay for you to cry. And I'm going to lift you up. And I'm going to have you keep going. Because I hear you and I see you and I can help you through this." You see, it's interesting to me that what we see in Genesis chapter 21 is that the child is crying and the mother is crying, and we read that God hears the child cry, but rather than go to the child, God goes to the mother and says, "Hagar, it's going to be all right. I hear your tears. I hear your cries. I see you, and it's going to be all right. And I'm going to lift you up so that you can lift your child up." This morning, as we close, it's really hard sometimes to make that point that hits everybody. And this morning, I want to speak just very specifically to these mothers that deal with this at times, and maybe mothers who have dealt with this before, and mothers who have maybe never dealt with this and will one day deal with this. Know that it's okay to step away from your children for a while. Fear the worst for them. And cry uncontrollably, because you can know that the God of Hagar is your God as well. And he hears you, and he sees you, and he's ready to lift you up after you take your moment to cry, because he wants to allow you to do that as well. This morning, we're going to offer an invitation. The invitation is for all to know this very thing. You don't have to be a mother to know that God hears you. You don't have to be a mother to know that God sees you. God hears and he sees our hurts and he wants to do something about it. So much so that he sent his son to do something about it. And he offered his son so that we could spend life with him eternal. And so this morning, we offer an invitation to call on the God who hears, to call on the God who sees, and to give your life to him, crying out to him and knowing that he's ready to lift you up and do something about it. So if you need to respond to the invitation this morning, if you need to be put Christ on in baptism, if you need prayers, whatever it might be, Chris is going to come. He's going to lead us in a song. We're going to stand together. And at that moment, if you need to respond, that'll be your opportunity. So let's stand together and let's sing.
Good morning. It's good to be here and see everybody. It's been a while. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege that we've had to be here this morning and to just take a few moments and focus upon you, to listen to your word, to surround the table and partake of the communion and honor Jesus Christ and his life and his death for us. We pray now, dear Father, as we begin this new week, that you would be with us. Help us to rely upon you in everything that we encounter and every decision that we make. And all these things we pray through Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.